Hello, thank you for being here with us. New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. We want you to be with us, and together we'll learn how to find the way to realize ourselves, each person individually. Each person is different. Each person is special. We each have things inside that we feel that we're not implementing in a maximum way. Some feel more, some less, and this makes us sad or happy, each one in the scale where they are. Today we want to learn how we can find the way to realize ourselves in the best possible way that it will make us happy, that we'll be happy to be alive, and we'll get up in the morning with a smile on our faces instead of just hearing the alarm go off. Be with us. We'll learn how to realize ourselves and be happy. Tal, take us down the path to self-realization. Okay, so in the preparations for these talks, I look for all kinds of materials, and I read all kinds of things that psychologists say, and it's interesting to discover what they say. They say lots of nice things, but lots of things that don't really come out in our lives. So today I reread Abraham Maslow, that talks about the pyramid of needs and in realizing a person's life, and he talks about education, and he talks about education with the goal of realizing a person to become a person in the full meaning of the world, to allow humanity, to allow a person to be the best he can possibly be, a place where there's no courses or report cards or marks, and everything is adjusted to the child's needs, and it's education for life. And the goal of creativity and to find yourself, to discover what you like, what you're good at, what you're not good at. And he says that people take various courses and seminars. They may not know which way they're going, but along the way, they'll discover the correct profession for themselves. And the moment that they find it, then they'll discover the technique they need. This ideal college is to find my correct occupation. And in the previous show, we talked about a new reality that we're heading toward, in which we're going to get to know ourselves in a different way, a little bit different than what we are today. So with this description, we're going to have to go through this new workshops, new education. He, first of all, he's quite old, let's say, for our time. This was dozens of years ago, his whole theory. It was a very good theory at the time. It wasn't realized because it couldn't really be realized because it all depends on society. I have to check where it is. It's good in an advanced society. It's good in a society that knows where it's heading, where it's developing toward. I'm realizing myself for years, and this is how I find myself, always advancing. But let's say I find it. It's on condition that society is advancing toward the same goal and process, the same train that's heading. And for our time, at the time of the crisis, and it's not the technological or economic crisis, we need to understand that this is the problem. Excuse me. The thing is that if people, as a result of development, go out of the workforce and become unemployed, they'll no longer be able to realize themselves in the same way as before. Because before, the expression of self-realization was a profession. How I can make more money, succeed more, how I can be according to standards that are acceptable in society, how I can rise the peak of happiness, the peak of my profession, something that society appreciates. And it turns out that in our time that we're all right at the edge between the previous society that was completely about creating more, selling more, acquiring more. We're now in a situation, we're on the brink of a big transition that's coming along with these new technologies, that we're in a situation where that we're switching everything over to robots, to machines. Let's say a person that still has a profession that we need him for computers, robotic technologies, we need him too. But all the other production workers, all those millions, all those other professions, we don't need them. I even read it's in medicine. There's already experts that there's robots that know more than people, and nurses and sanitarians. And we can replace almost everything. That's the problem. The people are afraid of unemployment and what will be, but countries won't be able to exist from lack of income. What we receive today from every worker, from every employee, we won't be able to do that. If I have a factory and I used to employ 1,000 people and I used to profit from selling my merchandise, every employee pays taxes, I pay taxes, I sell, I pay taxes, etc. And that's how the country exists. And there's a profit and existence. But if we and if we start to minimize production, let's say, instead of 1,000 people in the factory, I have 20 people that operate all the machines. And the people that I fired, they can't buy anything, and apart from me, others as well. So at the end of the day, I also can't create those things that I create with the help of machines. At the end of the day, we're all in the same situation. We're minimizing a whole industry, and in that we're minimizing the country, society. So therefore the crisis is still technological, economic. We're dealing with this social, human, social crisis. And this is what we're going to see in the near future. The question is, let's say, we can't break the machines. There used to be a movement that says if we break the machines, then there'll be work for everyone. That's impossible. We also can't stop our advancement and replacing people to machines, because if I don't do it, then my neighbors will do it, and other countries will do it, and then they'll be ahead of us. They'll be able to sell things for cheaper, etc. In other words, we're in a situation here, we're in a trap, where we have no choice, but we need to think about a multifaceted change, social, technological, in everything that a person does in life that will never have a change like that. And here we're stuck at the same time with problems of realizing man, like we already spoke of a few times, that if I have 20 or 30% unemployment, and even between the youngsters, 50%, it's already like that in Spain, Italy, and they're saying soon it's going to be in Germany, if we're talking about Europe and America, also very high numbers, and they're growing more and more. And here we have a problem of self-realization. And that's the main thing, because it's not a problem to give them the necessities for life, but in that they're beginning to, they stop feeling themselves as human. They feel that they're profiting and buying and building for themselves. Even though they have everything, what a regular factory worker didn't have 100 years ago, but the feeling of a lack of self-realization ruins a person, and at the end of the day, he's a poor thing. We can give out drugs and make all kinds of corrections, but it won't help. It's still an urge to realize himself as the most natural urge in the world. That's what separates him from animals. So human society either has to go into regression, which is impossible. Our defensive protection instincts won't allow us to do that, and we actually have to come out of the crisis only on the condition, and only if we give each and every person a solution for realizing himself. That actually this is the game. How do I give each and every person, let's say 50% today are unemployed, how do I give to those 50% unemployed, give them a feeling that they're realizing themselves and that they have significance in life and that they feel happy? This is actually the problem. So first of all, the problem is becoming more revealed as a personal and social problem of every person. And the solution is to give each and every person the ability to realize themselves. Before the solution, I want to add another layer that you didn't mention. You explained a situation in which through technology, people are leaving the workforce, and then people find themselves without anything to do. They'll have, even though he has a place to live and everything, he won't feel he can realize himself. There's another population, and it's possible, and I know many people like that, that a person is a person that has an occupation that fills his day from morning to evening, and he doesn't feel that he's realizing himself. And I know more and more people that live that feel like that, meaning the issue of self-realization. And if we add another layer of do something that has significance, is beyond. There can, of course, be, I can be a person that works hard from morning to evening, and I have a workplace, and my wife and I work hard, and I feel that in my occupation there's nothing that adds to my life, something of value, something of significance. Meaning the trouble that I identify, it's more than what you are talking about. You're talking about the automation and technological development, and robots will eventually replace us. And if you're not a robot, so long. But I'm adding to that, that even the people that do work, it's possible that a person, because of the conditions of life, he'll find himself stuck in a certain job with his mortgage and everything, and he'll feel he has no space to move. The middle class we're talking about, most of the people I know are like that, and you're stuck in it. And you do it to make a living, whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter, but you surely feel that it's not giving you feel significance. You're not really realizing yourself. Maybe you dreamt of being an artist, and suddenly you find yourself you're an engineer, a programmer. I don't know what's worse, if you're unemployed at home and because a robot replaced you, or you're day and night on the keyboard and you have to tell those robots what to do all day, but inside you feel empty. You feel you're not realizing yourself. You feel you're not realizing yourself. So we see that the entertainment industry developed like nothing else on earth. Once upon a time, it was in ancient Rome. And today I see that I live in a place where the middle class lives. Everyone's lawyers and accountants and computers and all those things, but they found themselves an occupation. Let's say bikers, big groups of people go once a week, half a day to ride on their bikes, fathers, children, mothers. That's what they do. They fly abroad, even though those things are really, it's coming to an end. It's out of fashion and it's lost its appeal. But still, people are still going. But it's out of lack of choice, because we need to take into account that a person is developing. It's not that it's fashion. Fashion has in it an element, a basic element, that it's a person's desire. And a desire, when it goes and develops, it becomes more and more sophisticated. It requires higher and higher filling. It's something that I want. What do I want? I myself don't know what I want. I want. Just like I'm born, I want to live. I want to know what life is, what's the meaning of life, how I realize myself, how I reach happiness. And then society apparently gives me all kinds of opportunities. And then I choose based on those opportunities. What's happening now? Society brings me all kinds of opportunities. You have the whole world, take what you want, but I don't want those opportunities. I'm apparently fed up with that. I don't feel like it. Even though I'm trying to be like everyone, everyone's jumping or flying, everyone's touring. I try to do those things, but, from year to year, I've been to that, I've seen that scenario, and it's no longer filling me, that there's no meaning. There's no filling. There's no pleasure. It's no longer new. It's because it's not new. And the problem is that I'm changing. I see on children, grandchildren, they have new deficiencies completely. They're not looking. What's happening today that's interesting is that they're not even looking like us at computers and phones and it's like beyond that. What's happening beyond that? And there's some inner pain that I have no way to occupy a person. He's not capable in modern society of realizing himself. I have some inner distress. There's social pressure. I'm less than everyone. It's my ego. It's not allowing me. But it's still until a certain limit. When we all change, it becomes something that's very, very, how can we put it? It loses its taste. What I saw that we're talking about is that there's psychologists divided into three. The pleasant life, which is all the pleasantries of life, where we're really, it's going down more and more. And also there's the good life, that's where I know what my strengths are, And I'm truly really into what I'm doing. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And then there's the meaningful life where I get meaning from what I do. And these are the things that are apparently not supposed to go down. I don't think a person that doesn't see where he is, there's a lot of needy people, and so why don't people want to get married? Why don't people want to have kids? Why aren't we running to do special things, high things that we used to have? Why are people in desperation, need so much medication for depression and drugs? Why is there such a great inclination to get drunk? It's all despite each and every society and country being very interested in attaining, in occupying its citizens in any way it can. And still, it's not capable. No, truly, I see with youngsters a lot of, they're like, it's a lack of ability to realize themselves. It's not because there's a lack of options. They're very sarcastic. They're not interested. They close themselves off in their room, and they don't come out of their room. Or they come out, but we need to see things that a person... There's two things here. On the one hand, how can we occupy a person? How can we give him occupation that he'll feel that he's realizing himself as part of society at a time when we don't need him in society? Not in society, but in industry and all those things. How can we organize some kind of, what kind of industry can we organize? Industry, services, all those things. A human society, go make money from one another, and in that you'll find your self-realization and happiness. How? What can we give to those same billions, millions that will be freed up? It looks like they're missing their desire. No, they don't want what you have to offer, but it doesn't mean that they aren't searching for a meaning. They're searching for something else than what we have to offer, yes, but what? So how can we reach a place where everyone can realize themselves? I met a young, beautiful girl, a 20-year-old, and she's very sad. Why is she sad? Because she's 20. She has to start her life, and she feels that her realization is to learn acting, to learn dancing, to be on a stage and express herself through dancing and acting, and she wants to develop in that. And her parents are really against it, and they say that she's lazy, she doesn't want to do anything with herself, and this conflict is frustrating her. She has this inner feeling that her realization is through expressing myself in dancing and acting, and the people around her, her parents in this case, look at life a little bit different from her. They say she's a little spoiled girl and she doesn't want to develop in life, and she's at this junction and she's very upset. I remembered her because you said there's sometimes the younger generation of feeling that this is not how we want to realize ourselves, but in another way. I think she symbolizes this, but at least she knows what she wants. There's a lot of people that are frustrated. He works as a programmer all day, electronics, electricity, and then suddenly at the age of 40, he discovers that actually he wanted to be a singer his whole life, but just the pressure from his environment put him into mainstream, but he truly had the soul of a poet. You see famous examples like that where a person got up in the middle of light and said, hang on, I wanted to restart. I don't want to continue like this until the age of 70. Before life is over, I want to do like a new reincarnation. So I think, truly, between us, if I think about it, most of the people I know my age, many people have a dream, a hidden dream, that they'll get a lucky ticket that will allow them to start over. We're stuck, you know, in the middle of the rat race, but we're not doing what we love to do. We don't feel that we're implementing ourselves. I have an aspiration to be promoted forward at all, get more money, etc. But it won't really touch. You said an expression before, to reach the peak of my life. I see that I'm not on the way to the peak of my life. And there's sometimes this dead chapter in my life. Sometimes through a divorce or something, there's like a window of opportunity opens up to switch trains. Why did I say all this? Because you said that the most important thing when we're looking from a social perspective is to see how we create conditions for a person to truly realize themselves. So if it's like that, we have no solution except that everyone will be able to donate, contribute to society, and through that realize himself, because then he won't be limited. He can contribute to everyone, and he can feel that he's higher. He can find himself in the center of society because only he can do what he can do for society. He'll feel how he's important and necessary to everyone. His self-realization will be on that everyone, he'll discover that he's a small part, but an important part of the integral system. And from that, he has a feeling of happiness. But from the whole system that's operated by him, and each and every person can realize themselves in such a system in complete harmony, and we will all then feel everyone in harmony and self-realization, and they'll feel they have no other option to realize themselves, each and every person, except in mutual giving. But it's on condition that we truly upgrade the society to another different type of relation in the society that we're in today, that's competitive, that everyone makes profits off the other and everyone has to climb over the other, and that's how they feel their self-realization and happiness, in that you're just going to reach collapse. I have a good quote. A Swiss author wrote about a book about status. He said we're in total fear and we always have to prove ourselves. So he says our desire for social status, this whole world is full of ambition for money and control, because we want to be someone. We want to be somebody. We want to get treated. How we get treated from society is the urge behind the drive behind everything we do. We always need a justification from our environment about our value. We suffer from lack of confidence, lack of value. He says we can compare our ego to a balloon losing air. We always need the society to blow up the balloon. And any little bit of lack of attention causes us to be in fear. So he says, then an ideal world will know our self-value, and then we won't be so sensitive, and we won't need all this feedback from the environment, and we won't have to always run after this status. And the situation that you're describing is a situation where I have value because I really feel that I have a role in this reality. Where does this positive self-value come from? Not from society. From society. But how is it possible that you'll have this value and it's always one against the other? That's why it's coming to an end. That's why we're in collapse. How can we build a society where there'll be necessity for everyone, and everyone will be valued and important, and everyone will reach self-realization, and everyone will receive a feeling of happiness despite him not disturbing others. How, can I ask something? It's always one against one on the account of the other, and it will come to an end. I'm talking about competitive society. What does that mean? In a competitive society, let's say, let's go back to the same girl who wants to be an actress, and she also wants to be an actress. So she'll always be measured against her, and there won't be two that they don't complete each other, but it's one on account of the other. Therefore, I build my happiness on account of her being repressed or putting her down, her sadness. If she's more successful, then it causes me to be sad. Yes, it's known. What kind of competition there's between actors, especially people in the cultural sector. How does it have to do with the self-realization of every person? It causes me to measure myself against everyone. The end of this society is collapse and destruction. Why? Because at the end of the day, you reach a situation where this competition destroys. It doesn't come along with the calculation of nature that we have to be special and similar to all of the global nature, and therefore it reaches a collapse. It reaches a situation where, how can we put it? It reaches a situation where suddenly we're out of strength. We start to dry up. We start to lose the taste in it, that this competition takes a person out of this world. And they're always afraid. They're always afraid. All the people that are in this competition, they don't feel happy. They only feel happy by the fact that they're above the other. It's not the perfect happiness. I'm still dependent on someone toward who I measure more or less my happiness. More or less, if I'm more than him or less than him, sorry. I'm in a competition with someone who's running to be the prime minister, and I'm also running to be the prime minister. So I'm in competition with him, and the more he goes down, I'm happier. Yes, great. How can I be happy without taking him into consideration? If I am in competition with him, but my goal is to reach a state where I can influence others. What? Again? If I'm in a situation where I'm in competition with him, apparently in competition with him, but it's not a competition. I'm now in a race for a role, and with this role, I'll be able to make other people feel better? Yes. Okay. Then I'm not concerned about my place toward him so much. I'm concerned with how I will know better how to bestow to others. And he needs this place to receive as much as possible from others. Respect, money, control, everything. Tell me, what's the difference? Let's see if I got you right. We're both running to be a prime minister, and you're the people. If we're in a regular race, then I hope that she'll die on the way so that I'll take her place. There's one seat. So she should die. Now you're saying, look at it in a different way. If your goal is to make the audience feel good, then actually there's no competition. There's no belief that if you're in this place of the greatest bestowal, you'll be able to do as good as possible to everyone. So say they choose her instead of me. I have nothing to be disappointed about, because I'll have to find a different place where the object is to do good to others. It will still exist, but in another place. Apparently, I didn't talk to the public correctly, or they don't need these changes that I'm recommending, suggesting, and et cetera, including the upper force and nature and everything. Meaning, I'm not as sad by not reaching or not reaching that chair, but rather my goal is not in the chair, but rather in my ability to bestow to people. And it might not depend on the chair at all, because it's like you didn't realize yourself. So where will you realize yourself? I can realize myself apart from that chair. If the people, it's not suitable and didn't choose me, then I'm not supposed to be there. Then it doesn't weaken you. No, just the opposite. I continue in my work. Meaning the goal is the same, to do good for the public. And if you're clean with yourself and this is really your goal, then even if you failed, you say, okay, I'm not managing the world. I did what I could. It didn't work here. I continue onward in the same path of self-realization. I look to maximize my influence on society as much as possible, and it's mine. And apparently this seat wasn't mine. It's not yours yet, but my direction, my compass is the same. I'm looking to maximize my influence to the public. I'm not ending my career. My occupation is the same. If I'm really concerned with the society, I want the person who's voted to be successful and everything. Okay, that's politics, but precisely in influencing others in bestowal, we're in a place where no one is interrupting me and realizing myself. The source of happiness is always there. There's no competition there. When I think about it, the example with the prime minister is the same for that girl that wants to be an actress. The two greatest actresses are going after a part in a show, and only one will get it. So if you lose, you don't need to be disappointed. In that way, you wanted to express yourself and contribute yourself to society in the maximal way. It didn't work out. If your goal was just, look at me, I'm number one actress, of course you're going to be disappointed and you're going to feel that you're not implementing yourself. But if it's in from a place of doing good for the society, so this didn't work out, so your career doesn't end there. Not just that, but through competition and through all kinds of verifications, I find my correct place, my true place. That I don't need to be the prime minister. I can be as assistant or something. I don't have to be the head actress. But rather, I can be in something else, maybe in a different role, something that suits me. Here, I'm more and more beginning to connect myself to some general force, to nature. The more that I'm suited to the force of bestowal in nature, and in accordance with who I am, it's arranging me correctly where I need to be. I didn't understand this story with nature. We're saying that nature is entirely one integral power that manages our life, shapes our life, fills our life, and this force is always developing us. It's a force of bestowal and love. This is the general force of nature that holds everything and develops everything. I have to be suited as much as I can to that force, me as a person, yes. And where I find myself, it doesn't matter to me. Because then I'll be like some charge in an electronic field that's moving me where to a certain place, and in that certain place I need to feel my balance. Therefore, what happens, it's all for the best. Where I am, I'm there because that's how the forces operated on me. And I have no problem. I'm not bitter from any results. It can cause me to be a little bit passive. No, I want to completely realize myself. But if I didn't succeed once, do I need to try again? No, because who knows if it's really my place. I have to go as high as possible in all the opportunities where I can maximum bestow to the society. But I accept it with joy because at the end of the day, for now, I found my correct place. So how do I know that it's not my place and that, let's say this time I didn't manage to try again and again? You need to always go to places where it appears to you that you can bestow more. Girls, we're thinking about something, and suddenly I have some pressure. If I understand correctly, you say, Oren, if you want to implement, realize yourself in life, take a simple compass. Look where you're living, how you can do the maximum good in the society that you're living in. To be a hairdresser or whatever, the main thing is to check how with your abilities, your special attributes, you can do maximum good for the society that you live in. Now you're saying to me, if you truly take this as your compass and don't lie to yourself along the way and don't get confused, you'll surely realize yourself and reach the peak of your life. Now it pressured me. Why did it pressure me? Will you surely realize yourself? It sounds logical, and I went with it. We've been talking about it for 40 minutes. I've been going with the flow, but suddenly I'm in pressure. Why? Because there's some basic assumption here that's really pressuring me. Because I didn't ask you. I wanted to know how to reach the peak of my life, like you promised me. You said realizing yourself is reaching the peak of your life. I want it. But on the way, you switched my goal. What do you mean? I also switched your means. That remains. Your self-realization complete that brings happiness. True happiness, that remains. How do I reach self-realization and true happiness? I told you, you have to reach it without competing with anyone. And if you take the line of bestowal to the public instead of profiting off everyone, and you may be a plumber and not some big accountant, but your realization and happiness, yes. But some big accountant, I don't know if he's really happy. I want to know how to realize myself, and suddenly I became a servant of the people to do them good. Why did I get into pressure? Because I don't know truly if I care about them. If we're talking eye to eye here, I don't know if I care about doing good for the public. You don't want anyone to feel good. I want to realize myself. I want to be happy. I want to realize myself to the maximum. You have no other option except to be in balance with the environment, with the world, with nature. To be an integral part of this entire system. To feel yourself as an unseparate part of all of reality, of the whole world, of everything that exists. with your desire, with the implementation, you're carrying out this connection, this harmony with nature. You can only do it on condition that you are bestowing, like nature, to others, to the public. That's how it's realized. There's a lot of research that shows that we get a lot more satisfaction from giving to others. There's proof of that. Like if I change my focus from advancing myself to focus on others, then I won't be hurt, I won't have this fear as much. But still, I need to discover what the thing is that will give me a desire. Because we see we don't have a desire for things like giving, and that's why we need to educate people. This is the new education that we need to get into seriously with all our power. We need to build a society that will hold a person inside him, that will be directed toward bestowal, and he'll be focused on the development of himself, and he'll be happy that he's in an integral society as an integral part of everyone, and that everyone completes everyone to a special harmony. Those people that we spoke about before that don't have a desire for meaning, helping others, etc., what can we offer them if they suddenly have a desire to realize themselves? We need to open their eyes that truly we're living a lie, that our nature is a bad nature. What nature? Our egoistic nature. That we're all eating one another, that we're all in this lie of competition. We're stealing the feeling of happiness from one another. We're not allowing one another to realize themselves in a normal, natural way, because each person that's born in the world is not disturbing the other. He's not disturbing, but rather we created our lives in such a way that I have to be more than you, meaning I have to be like you and more. I don't want to be like you. I'm other, I'm different, and everyone is different from the other. Why do we have to be in competition? If you're not in competition, you're anemic, you won't advance. What will move you forward? Why do I have to be in competition with someone? Let's say we're parts of the puzzle. Let's say you're an installer, you're a plumber, and I'm a plumber. You feel that if you improve yourself, there's something that's directing you to be better. What's the motor of development? That I will destroy you, or is my drive that I'll do good for the environment? That's the question. That is the question. A profession, to go toward a profession, is it my profession or my respect that I'm more than you? My respect that I'm bestowing to society. That means a profession. Why don't they invite you? Because my service is better as a plumber. But I'm also in this profession. They invite you to special things and me to different things. But if I know how to do good to society, this is how it's built in from the side of nature, that I'm happy about it, that I'm realizing myself in a complete way for the sake of society. I'm not in competition with you, but what? I'm in competition with myself. How I, as much as possible, realize myself towards society, but I'm giving back to you because I'm like a crane picking you up. If we have the same profession, I'm not looking at you so much. I'm looking at how much I can do good for others. Let's say I'm a greater expert than you in something. It doesn't matter, a plumber, a theater, an author. Create something that you're bringing to society. She'll bring something better to society. Then can she be a motivation for you? Yes, but not competition. Not like my teacher, but not competition, because each one has a place. That's what I'm saying. Each one that is born has a place. It's like a puzzle. I can't exchange one piece of the puzzle with another piece of the puzzle. Each soul has a place, yes. Each part is special. Maybe we can do a seminar, a workshop where we'll start to discover our part in the puzzle. I want to discover it. I think everyone wants to know who he is, to get to know himself, to know what his part is. Can we discover this in a workshop? I'm continuing. Let's say I came to you and I said, listen, you're a smart guy. That's what I heard. And I want to learn from you how to realize myself. I've learned lots of methods, and I want to learn from you how to realize myself. Let's say we're a group of 2, 3, 15 people that want to learn. Can you teach me? We need to build a bunch of questions and throw them out to you and together. What's the first question? What's the meaning of life? What's the point of life? Let's not speak in codes. We're in a workshop for self-realization. So lead us down. What does self-realization mean in our life that doesn't come on account of anyone, that no one is bothering me and everyone can help me actually? Does such a society exist, such an option, ability? I want to reach a state, some profession, or a special society, or a special attitude. I want to be such a person. I'm a guy, let's say. I want to be a person. I want to realize myself 100%, and if no one is in competition, if I'm not destroying the other person, if I'm not... I truly want to reach happiness that doesn't come from killing, pushing others, etc. Is it possible? What kind of society can there be that I can realize myself in such a way? What do I need to change inside me to relate to society and life in that way? This is what I would ask first. If we're talking about implementation, before that, I would give them workshops, different workshops. What's the crisis, the reason for the crisis? What can we reach to develop onward? What options does society have in its development? In its egoistic development, how much we can develop? What are we reaching with all this collapse that's rolling on and on? That we're in such a descent. A free fall. What are we doing with those millions of unemployed people, and soon it will be billions of unemployed? How will we reach some kind of future without a world war? What will we do with all those people taking drugs and taking depression medication, antidepressants? What kind of world will we have if we open our eyes and see it not the way we're used to, but rather we'll see it in a true manner? I'd give them workshops like that. What is the foundation of our world, our ego? I want them to discover it, to talk about it. And what's the solution? That's on the one hand. What's a person's nature? And what about the nature around us? Or maybe a few seminars, workshops. What turns the world around? What force operates us? We see that we're in development. We see we're in some kind of process of evolution. What is the process that develops us? That the development throughout life, etc., etc. What's the force that develops us? It's called nature. What is it? What's its nature? To the extent that we need to be closer or further from that force, how do we need to relate to it? We're dependent on it, after all. I see that there's a fate in everything. How is all this connected to my self-realization? Before we reach self-realization, I need to know where I am, who I am, what I am, in what society. There's conditions for me realizing myself. Let's say we have a workshop like that today. A person comes, we ask what he likes, what he... That's just psychology. I don't want to deal with that. I hate psychology. It just mixes people up. I see how it's coming to an end and hasn't brought people anything except the profit that the psychologists made. Today, they're not really making money. But today, instead of sitting with myself and verifying... No, but you come to us once in a while as a psychologist. But you have to discover through us what your place is in the world. First of all, who you are. Second of all, what's the world and where the world is headed? To what purpose? And we'll get perspective and how I realize myself toward that. Because if I don't take all these conditions into account, how do I come to a seminar about self-realization? First, I have to place myself under those conditions. I'm in the big world, in a big society, inside my family, and who am I inside that? If I find my work in the realization, we have a few minutes left. So what does it mean to realize myself? Who's bothering me and who's not bothering me? What's my free choice? What can I do when I'm free in my acts and not dependent on anyone? How I clean myself of every influence, of every foreign influence. It's not just called self-realization for nothing, where I find myself. I don't know. Who am I? It's me. And then I need to bring myself to some point, from point A to point B. How do I reach point B? What is it that then I'll feel along the way in the path and on it, I'll feel that I truly realize myself. So if we're already talking about such a thing, I want to feel like I'm the most, the richest, whether we're talking about happiness or wealth, I'm happy. I don't feel hatred or pressure from anyone. I feel completely free. And also, I feel complete and eternal. Otherwise, nothing's worth it. I reached happiness, and at that moment, I'm dead. In other words, the self-realization includes lots of questions. Maybe I discover possibly things that it's not worth to aspiring toward. We'll go to drugs or something, we'll eat steak, tomorrow we'll die. Or the opposite. It's worth it for me to do it my whole life to reach eternity, the good, beautiful eternity, not hell. Not hell. That you will be happy in an eternal manner. When? The moment I start the path. If I verify everything precisely, even now I can feel myself in the perfect final state. Everything's possible, but just these things require the integral education, the development of a man. The fact that we're verifying, is it precisely inside a workshop, or it gives me the ability to verify my place in society on the way I verify who I am as an integral part of the environment, and I cannot implement myself unless I build it in a manner that's suiting nature. Our time is up. We spoke about self-realization as the main factor of feeling happy in life. What do I need to take with me from this environment? How can I do this as best as possible? Reach my self-realization by verifying who I am, what the world is, and what my attitude to the world needs to be in order to feel that I am happy. This situation of happiness is called balance or adhesion with all of reality. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. We have a lot to think about. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. We need to realize ourselves together. New life, all the best.